So glad to see you here this morning. Let's say welcome to all of you who are joining us in person. So good that you're part of a family this morning. Thank you for joining us online too as well. Welcome online, wherever you are, whoever you are. We're so blessed to have you here today. You know, we're heading into incredible times. You know, we're living in incredible times. And we're living in the times that I believe that we're going to see breakthroughs. We're going to see moves of the Spirit that we've never seen before. And we're not going to recognize it's going to be different from the way it's always been. Because God is a unique, creative God. And He never fails to surprise us. Amen? And so God is so good. And so we're going to talk about this thing about, you know, getting breakthroughs from God. And I said last week, you know, you cannot create your own breakthrough. You know, you can, you know, you can't manufacture, you can't create it. But listen, you can get ready for it. You can get prepared for it. And you can pray for it, for you, for your own personal breakthrough. And because I believe this is a year, we're living in the year of the Lord's favor. We're living in the new dynamic that Jesus announced that day when He got up and He spoke and He read from that scroll of Isaiah. This is the year of the Lord's favor. He's not talking about a chronological year of dates and months. He's talking about a new dynamic in the time, a new era of God moving by the Holy Spirit through His people. Amen? And that's what we're living in today. So we're going to talk about breakthrough. Let's pray. Let's pray before we continue. Father, I thank You for everyone here today, that You have gathered us to be Your church. Your church is gathered today. And I pray that You would speak to us, speak truth to us. And everything that we hear today, Holy Spirit, open up our ears. Yeah. To hear it with faith and to put our feet to it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today we're going to talk about breakthrough praise. But let me start by saying this. In the Old Testament, probably the very first blessing, apart from Himself, that God gave to people was land. It was land. And we see that when we open up our Bibles to read from Genesis. God created land. He created man. He created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve. And what did He give them? Land. A good place to live in. A Garden of Eden. Not a little small plot, but a huge tract of beautiful, fertile land. Later on, as you read your Bible, in your next chapter, you go to Exodus, and you see the people of God have been living in bondage under Egypt as slaves. They were landless. And so God appointed Moses to bring His people out of bondage, but not just into the desert, but through the desert to what? The promised land. To a good land. God blessed the land, and then He put His people in it. Right? And He told them, when they got into that promised land, you take care of that land. You watch over it. You guard it. You keep that land. You steward that land. And when we look back in history and time, the greatest battles were always fought over land. And today, there's a battle over our land. Yeah. Over our land, our home and native land. And be sure of this, we are not fighting just against flesh and blood. Our national anthem of Canada is two things. It's a promise to God to say, "Oh Canada, we stand on guard for thee." It's our promise to God, but it's also our prayer to God. God, keep our land glorious and free. It's our declaration. Yeah. It's our duty to God as His people, as His nation, and as the church to fight for the good land that God has given us and to keep it glorious and free. Yeah. We'll get back to that in just a little while. Today we're talking about breakthrough. Breakthrough praise. And we're going to start by looking at three stories in the Bible that talk about breakthrough and talk about this thing called praise and the power of praise and worship. And so we're going to start by looking at a familiar story to most of us. It's about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, which was really a battle for Lot, a battle for land. Here's a picture of Jericho. So Jericho was the beachhead. We call the beachhead the entry point to what was behind it. What was behind it? The promised land. But first they had to take that beachhead in order to get into that land. Just like the Allied forces in World War II had to take the beaches of Normandy in order to take back Europe from Nazi domination. It was the beachhead. Well, Jericho is the beachhead. And there's a fight to take this city. So first they had to take the city in order to get to the land. Jericho was a formidable fortress. Archaeologists say that its walls were up to 6 feet thick and as high as 20 to 26 feet high. It was a formidable piece city. There was probably, they estimate, between 3,000, could be even up to 5,000 people within the city. And there was an army within the city too as well. But they had to take the city. Joshua 6:15, on the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. They had marched around once every day for 6 days, but this time they went around the town 7 times. The seventh time around, the priest sounded a long blast on their horns. Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed. It didn't say they toppled. They disintegrated with the power of the shout. They collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town, and they captured it. Yeah. Say with me, breakthrough praise. Breakthrough praise. Let's go to the second account. This is in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas have been sent to this city called Philippi, this Roman city, and they're told to preach the gospel there. They were doing a good job, but they ran into some trouble. A lot of religious people got mad at them. And in verse 22, it says, "A great crowd gathered, and all the people joined in to come against them. The Roman officials ordered Paul and Silas be stripped of their garments and beaten with rods on their bare backs. After they were severely beaten, they were thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison, past even maximum security, and had their feet bound and chained. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. All at once, every prison door flung open and the chains of all the prisoners came loose." Break out praise. Amen? Later on, the jailer and his whole household got saved. One more account. 1 Samuel chapter 16 is about King Saul and David. Verse 14, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Some of Saul's servants said to him, 'A tormenting spirit is troubling you. Let us find a good musician to play the harp whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you.' And whenever the tormenting spirit troubled Saul, David would play the harp, then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away." We see here the power of music, the power of praise. It was David himself who said in Psalm 100, verse 1, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. He made us. We are his. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and his courts with what? praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation, right down to you and I today. Yeah. Amen? Amen? There's one thing that about our church. Here's one thing. It's always been a house of music. The first thing I experienced over 30 years when I gave my life to Christ, I came into this early origins of this church. And the first thing I experienced was praise and worship. Praise and worship. I literally grew up in praise and worship. Praise and worship has been a huge part of my devotion. And praise and worship is a huge part of this house. And praise and worship continues to be one of the most important and vibrant and vital ministries in our church. Music. Music itself, let's admit, music in itself is powerful, isn't it? You know, you listen to music, it can set your mood. It can console you when you're down. It can pump you up to help make you happy. And it can bond us together. When we together sing, "Oh Canada, keep our land glorious and free." Music is so powerful. Could you ever imagine a world without music? Music is so powerful. I'll give you four quick reasons why I think music is so powerful. Number one, music lifts us up. Music makes us happy. You know, sometimes our family gathers together, our kids and our grandkids, we'll just maybe put on some music, and all of a sudden, we start dancing. Well, I don't start dancing. Karen does, and then the kids start dancing. And then what happens? Joy comes. Energy comes, right? And what does it do? It allows us to just sort of cut loose and to really enjoy life. Music lifts us up. Secondly, music can get us into the mood. Music can inspire you. You know, I'm still a 50s or 60s and 70s fan of music. And I still love hearing Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. Could I hear some amens? Oh, yeah, well, good. Well, some of you are too young to even know who he is. But I love the sound of that trumpet. It's exquisite, and it just lifts you up. Well, how about Michael Bublé? His Christmas album really helps you get you in the Christmas mood, right? See, music inspires. Third thing music can do, it can bring us hope. You know, I like that. And if you ever watch that Broadway musical Annie, they sing this song that's called Tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, there's always tomorrow. The sun will come up tomorrow. You know, music can do all these things. Music can lift us up. Music can inspire us. Music can bring hope and joy into our lives. But listen, there's nothing like praise and worship music. Nothing like that. You know, and you notice, you put on a praise and worship CD. What happens? It can change the atmosphere of your home. But it can do more than that. It can change the atmosphere of your attitude. Now, why is that? Why is that? Here's why. Number four, because music is spiritual. Music has a spiritual element to it. You know, as David played the flute, what happened? Evil spirits left. Darkness, depression, anxiety, fear. You know, there's something about the note of that piano or that strum of that guitar, that bass guitar, or that clang of that cymbal, the beat of that drum, right? See, we don't just hear the music. We feel the music. See, the music is not just for our ears. The music affects our souls, doesn't it? Music is so powerful. There's a spiritual element to music. You know, as Paul and Silas were singing, what happened? Bondages fell off, chains broke off, and they were set free. Acts 16:26, suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off, just when the enemy wants to bring you into silence and seclusion. That's when God wants you to take out your weapon of praise. Amen? Here's Paul and Silas. I mean, they were in the worst place possible. They were in prison. They were stripped naked. They were just beaten, wounds all over their back. They were locked up. They were chained up. They were naked and cold, and they were sitting in a dungeon in filth that you cannot even imagine. I mean, that was about the worst it could ever be for them. Yet, they had a weapon that was stronger. It was a weapon of praise. It was a weapon of worship. And it was a weapon of song. Amen? Yeah. You know, when you talk about King David or David, do you know that David is probably mentioned in the Bible perhaps more than any other man other than Christ, who is both God and man, right? 66 chapters were dedicated to David. 929 times or passages talk about David. And David was known as many things, as shepherd and as warrior and as king. But first and foremost, David was known to be worshiper. David wrote 73 of the 150 Psalms in the Bible, Psalms which are songs to God. Here's just a few. Psalm 34, verse 1. This is what David said. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Through the mouths of infants, he has ordained praise to do what? To crush the works of the enemy. Your kids are powerful. When your kids start worshiping, praising God, it can crush the works of the devil. Psalm 146, verse 2, David said, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. 35, verse 10, Psalm, with every bone in my body, I will praise him. And that last verse, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. We praise in response to what God has done for us. Amen? David understood praise. He drove out evil spirits when he played his harp. And he worshiped God. He pleased God with his dance before the ark, when they brought the ark of God's presence into Jerusalem. And every man and woman and child were watching the procession of the priests and the worshipers bringing in the ark of God. And David's behind, and he takes out his outer robes and he just goes for it. He just dances for the Lord. He is so, you know, caught up with God's presence. He's so, you know, and so later on, Michael, his wife, addresses him, and she says to him, my, how undignified the king has appeared before, you know, before his people. You know, how embarrassing that you stripped down to your undies and you danced like that before for the Lord. How undignified, how embarrassing. And David's response was, I didn't do that for you. I didn't do that for anyone. I was doing that for the Lord. Amen? And, you know, and this is what he said, 2 Samuel 6:22. He said to her, I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. And the Bible says that after that, Michael, his wife, became barren. She never bore another child. God loves worship. He loves worship when it comes out of you in this house. So here's the question. What about me? What about you? How do you come into God's house? Do you come into God's house stoically? Do you come into God's house religiously? Or do you come into God's house with thanks and praise? How do you come, right? So, you know, the secret to David's life was praises, praise and worship life. That was his secret. You know, so when David, before Saul or Joshua, before Jericho or Paul and Silas in prison or any other people needed a victory, what was it? It was praise. It was breakthrough praise that gave them the victory and caused them to triumph. So if you need a victory, a breakthrough in your life, start with praise. So powerful. Praise and worship. You just think about how we were made. God created us with an anatomy that has the ability to praise and worship us. He gave us the thing called the mouth and the voice. So I want to encourage you, start with your voice. Start thanking him. Start thanking him. You know, last week I shared about how we struggled, Karen and I, when we first got married financially. I mean, you know, I just couldn't seem to make a decent wage. And so we were struggling to even buy groceries, a quart of milk, and this, like, we literally had nothing in those days to live on. We didn't have a food bank. We didn't have CLC Cares, you know, so we just had to, you know, trust God and cry out to God. But we did have a couple of things, we had a lot of, and that was rice and eggs. And I remember my dad, he went to Nakagama's and he brought about a 100-pound sack of rice. And he remember him just carrying it over his shoulder, and I thought, wow. And then he just dropped it down. He says, this is for you. That rice lasted us for years. And my mom would always come over and say, I've got these eggs. Do you want these eggs? And we always said, yeah, we'll take them. So, you know, so all we had was rice and eggs. But we started to thank God for what we had. And as we began to thank God, God began to move financially in our lives. And God opened up doors of financial blessing and opportunity in our lives. Amen? You know, maybe you're in a situation today, you're worried about your finances. You're worried about the economy. You know what I want to say to you? Start thanking God for what you have. Start there, right there. Start praising Him, right? Break out. Break out of silence. Break out of, you know, silence and start praising God. Put on that praise CD and praise to it, right? But start praising God. Start praising God. And you know, and what does the Bible say can happen when you start praising God? Breakthrough. Breakthrough. You know, then get ready. I say get ready for an earthquake. Get ready for the walls to come down. Get ready for the chains to break off. Get ready for your breakthrough. Amen? You know, the enemy wants to silence his church. He wants to silence you. And he wants to take away your voice. He wants to take away your shout. He wants to take away your weapon. Because praise is a powerful weapon. Quickly, I want to give you 7 words or expressions for praise. Ready for this? Number one. First most common word for praise in the Bible is the Hebrew word hallel. Hallel. It's the word for hallelujah. It means to clamorously, foolishly worship God. Hallelujah means God be praised. Praise the Lord. Listen, it's not a quiet word. It's not a quiet word. It's loud and it's foolish. Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise, hallel, ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise, hallel the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him, hallel him in his mighty heaven. Next verse. Let everything that is breath do what? Praise the Lord. Hallel. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 13, 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer. And in that verse is, continually offer, not just once, not just twice, but continuously offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Say, do it when you least feel like doing it. And that's what, you know, God loves it. I was the Silas, Paul and Silas were offering. That's the type of praise. It was a sacrifice of praise. There's no reason why they would want to praise and thank God, but they begin to sacrifice to Him, right? The fruit of our lips that profess his name. It's a sacrifice of praise. Don't lose your praise offering. It's so pleasing to God. Number two, yada. Yada praise. It means to extend the hand, to worship God with your hands. 2 Chronicles 2:20, 21. Give thanks, yada, to the Lord. His faithfulness, faithful love endures forever. Psalm 63, verse 1. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will what? I will lift up my hands. I will yada. It's not a sign of surrender. It's a sacrifice. It's a praise offering. Amen? Yeah. Number three, toda praise. Thanking God for things not yet received, as well as thanking him for what you already have. This is faith praise. It's always thanking him already. It's preparing a way for the blessing to come. Amen? Yeah. You're creating a pathway for God to bless you. It's called praise. Psalm 54:14, make thankfulness, toda, your sacrifice to God, and keep the vows that you made to the Most High. Psalm 50:23, but giving thanks, toda, is a sacrifice that truly honors me. God says, I love it. It honors me. So therefore, thank God. Thank God for those kids. Maybe your kids are struggling to serve God, you know, but thank God for your kids that they will come back and they will serve God. Thank God for God's provision. Thank God for health. Thank God for the air that you breathe. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for life. Yeah. Thank God. Amen. Sacrifice. Toda, praise. Barak, praise. Number four, kneel down, to bless God as an act of adoration. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel, Barak, before the Lord our Maker. 1 Chronicles 29:20, then David said to all the assembly, now bless, Barak the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord and the God of their fathers and bowed low and did homage to the Lord and to the king, and the presence of God invaded that assembly. The glory of God descended on him. Zamar, praise. To pluck the strings of an instrument, to sing, to praise. It's a musical word, a word which is largely involved with joyful expressions of music with musical instruments. 1 Chronicles 16:9, sing to him, sing praises, Zamar, with music to him. Speak of all his wonders. Awake, my glory. Psalm 57, verse 8, awake, my glory. Awaken, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O God among the peoples. I will sing praises with music, Zamar, to you among the nations. Couple more. Tehillah, praise. Tehillah, not tequila. Tehillah. Sorry, that's bad. Means to sing a new song that comes out of your spirit. Psalm 33, verse 1. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to tehillah him. I think we did a bit of that today. Isaiah 61, verse 1. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise, tehillah praise, instead of the spirit of despair. And one more. Give me one more. Shabbat. Shabbat means to shout. It means to address in a loud voice. It means to command. It means to triumph. Psalm 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout Shabbat to God with the voice of triumph, with joy. Shout to God. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise Shabbat thy works to another and declare thy mighty acts. You shout the mighty acts of God to the next generation. Joshua 6, verse 20. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horn, they shouted, they shabbat as loud as they could, and suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed. The house of God is a powerful house, and a powerful house is a house of praise, as well as a house of prayer. Amen? We are a house of praise. So let's praise. How are we going to praise? Let's hallel. Let's praise God. Let's not be afraid of how we look. Let's be willing to even look foolish. Let's yada him with our hands. Let's toda, let's thank him for what he has done and what he's going to do. Let's barak. Let's kneel and adore him. Let's zamar, play music with joy and celebration. Let's tehillah praise. Let's sing new songs that get erupt out of your spirit. It just comes out of your spirit. And let's shabak. Let's give him a shout and praise him with a shout and with triumph. Amen? Amen? I say, let's not be a quiet, hidden, withdrawn people. Let's be the house of praise. Amen? Amen. You got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. God wants to know who you are and give you a new sense of awareness of who you are and your destiny. I love what Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. He says, but you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's what? Special possession. Man, does he ever love you. That you may declare, what? The praises of him. One verse says, the praises of him to the world, who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. God's given you a voice. God's given you a weapon. God's given you a shout. And we're called to use it. I want to finish this by reading you some of the words that I heard just recently from a prophetic prophetess from the U.S. Her name is Barbara Yoder. She's an American. She lives in Michigan. And she stepped onto Canadian soil on September the 20th, 2019. And when she was in Canada, she prophesied this word. I'm just going to read you part of the words that he said. And I want to be honest with you. When I heard these words, I wept. And I cried when I heard these words. But here, I want to read you some of these words. This is what she said. We are in a season. We're in this season. It's about sound. It's about the sword. It's about many things. And I tell you, there's a sound coming forth out of this nation. It is no longer is the church going to sit with their hands folded like a nice group of people. But there is going to be raised up across this nation some of the noisiest, most bold people that will upset the religious spirit. Praise the Lord! Too long has the religious spirit ruled in this nation and in the churches. Canada has been like a sleeping dog. And the Lord says, I am not a sleeping dog. I am the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and I roar! I'm putting emphasis into her words here. And I'm going to upend people with a new sound. That there are those who are going to roar. And I declare to you, there's an anointing where you are going to roar and roar like a lion of the tribe of Judah. And it will cause every mountain to tremble, the earth to tremble, and I will unseat evil forces and uncover their corruption. He has given you a new voice, and when you get the new voice, you get the new identity. You've got to see your identity. You've got to see yourself as a lion. There's a new sound coming out of Canada. I'm going to bring life to those who have given up hope. I'm going to break the spirit of hopelessness and despair as well as sleepiness over this nation. Because you have not seen very much. You have not seen things come to pass. You have said, oh, just rest. But God says, I'm stirring you. I'm giving you new identity. And out of that identity, you will rise and a new voice shall be released out of Canada. Sounds that shake the earth. Sounds that shake your government. Sounds that will shake your church. Sounds that will shake every unjust and corrupt things. Sounds that upset the status quo. I say, praise God. Bring it on. I'm tired of the status quo. I want more, God. I'm ready for you. I hope I'm ready. Canada will become a force on earth. Canada is a nation in transition. I'm going to shake Canada into her destiny. I'm going to shake the shackles that have bound the church. There's a direct correlation between the church and our nation. Amen? There is a radical new breed arising, crying out for deliverance. There is a holy revolution and indignation of my people. And the Lord says, you may not be able to maintain your relationships with the status quo. I'm looking for the church, the ecclesia, the government of God, to begin to be on guard for what God has said about Canada. I'm raising up the ecclesia, a brand new government that shall topple every evil throne in this nation. And there are evil thrones trying to establish themselves in our nation today. For you shall see the complete turnaround of your nation, and there shall be righteousness, genuinely, heavenly, godly, word-based righteousness and holiness in the land again. Praise God. Praise God. You will not be known as just a polite people. You will be known as a holy nation. A nation where every people, tribe, and tongue has come, and I shall cause a transformation. I shall cause my church to stand in a brand new place. I say, wow. I say, give God praise in his house today. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let me finish by saying this. It's what the prophetess said. You are not a mouse. A mouse does not roar. You are a lion. Amen? And when you praise him with your voice, get ready, because your breakthrough will come. I say, get ready for walls to come down. Get ready for chains to break. Get ready for doors to unlock. Get ready for opportunities to open up before you. Get ready for demons and darkness to leave and for the victory to come. Amen? Amen. Someone say amen. Amen. Someone say hallelujah. 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 God is so good. Amen. Breakthrough, I want to tell you, breakthrough is on its way. Believe it, prepare for it, receive it. Get ready for the breakthrough. Amen. Get down on your knees and say, God, tell God what areas you need a breakthrough in and start believing him for it. Let him begin to prepare you for your breakthrough. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. They said the greatest gift that we can ever receive is the gift of salvation. It's the gift of eternal life. It's the gift of a brand new life. It's the gift of forgiveness from all condemnation and sin that's been in your life. And where does it start? It starts by believing in Jesus. Believing in Jesus. Putting your faith in him. Putting your trust in him. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved. Through faith. This is not from yourself. This is the gift of God. So that it's not by works, so that no man can boast. I want to pray a simple prayer for you to receive Christ. If you've never received Christ, pray these simple words. Open up to eternity for yourself and for your family. Amen? Get ready. If you're ready to pray these words, pray after me. Pray with all sincerity. Pray with me. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Today, Father, I invite you. I invite Jesus. I invite you into my heart. Please forgive me of every sin that I've committed. And Lord Jesus, make me into that new person. Today and now, Lord, I have decided to follow Jesus. And I make you my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you said that prayer, you're here today, and you said that prayer for the first time, will you just raise your hand and just wave it? Wave your hand and just wave it. And if you said that prayer for the very first time, will you go back and see Victor at that lamp that's called the Welcome Lounge? Victor will tell you the incredible life that God has ready for you, your next step of faith to follow Jesus. Amen? If you said that prayer, you're watching online, touch that hand near the bottom of that screen, and we'll connect you to someone to tell you the incredible, abundant life that Jesus has for you and your next faith step. Amen? You said that prayer. Welcome to the kingdom of God. The most incredible, the most important decision you will ever make in this life, because it affects you for all eternity. Thank you.